All right, this is James Gillen, and we've got another great show today. We've got Anya Briggs, and she's a psychic medium. She's been featured on Conspiracy Theory and with Jesse Ventura. And, she's the first person I've run into that actually has a clue as to what's going on with, the other dimensions and what's really happening on the planet. And it's been a breath of fresh air to run things by her. Some of my own experiences, and to get the validation on what's happening, and some of the information I've gotten from her was very cold. I didn't give any details, and she just hit it, nailed it right on the head. So, she's been used by various authorities to find missing people, all kinds of things with great accuracy. So, with any further ado, I want to bring Anya on the show. Anya, are you with us?
I am. Thank you so much for having me today, James, and hello to everyone who's listening. I really appreciate it, and thank you.
There's things that we were talking about earlier, and I think it's very important that people understand what's happening, especially with this Archon network and how it's infiltrated almost every aspect of our government, of the religions, and almost every institution. And it's even infiltrated the, a lot of the New Age and UFO networks, and even the super soldier events and things like that. It's just amazing how infiltrated this has become. And I know we were talking about that earlier, and you had some great insights about that. So I'd love to hear your take on that.
Yeah, it's an infestation. I mean, I liken it to something like a colony of pests that are opportunistic and parasitic and manipulate human consciousness through a grid, kind of like the Matrix, as it's more popularly known, where people become possessed. I mean, at its heart, it's about body possession, mind possession, spirit possession. And people who are quote unquote educated in the academic industrial complex of our world poo-poo this, and people who are atheists and people who think this is impossible are cutting their noses off to spite their face if they say this. It's absolutely real. It involves a variety of methods. Targeted individuals even can experience certain forms of this. The black occult cabal that has infested, I'll just say it, many aspects of the scientific industrial complexes of the world are very much interested in this sort of thing. They spend a lot of money, a lot of wealthy people spend a lot of money on think tanks and research and development on how to control the masses and via mind control and mind control technology. This is all real. There is a spiritual contingent to it as well. It might not be what you and I consider spiritual, but it is a form of spirituality to them, to these people who are interested in this. And it also involves a form of jealousy by higher entities that don't have corporeal form. They don't have physical bodies. and or they don't have something that I like to call soul, or their soul dynamic is not what it could be. And as such, there's a jealousy there, and they see this godlight in the human spirit, and they like to harvest that, and they like to feed on it. And I see a lot of that happening in specifically in our communities. I can only speak directly of my direct personal experience and what I've read about. And I see it happening all the time. It's been going on for years, but I've remained silent about it. But today, I would like to break my silence and discuss that a little bit further with you, if I may.
Oh, great. I'd love to hear
About
it.
current developments. And actually, while they may be scary on the surface, all is not lost. This is actually, there's a silver lining to this because I believe this is a pathetic 11th hour attempt. This is kind of some kind of end game tactic that the Illuminati, that the powers that be, that these people who are secretly invested in mind control tech through a variety of methods have instilled in researchers in the UFO community and the New Age community. And I know many of them, and I know many of them are possessed right now. And that's going to sound insane, but this is the elephant in the room that nobody wants to talk about. I have gotten through several sources already that there are many people who are getting information from spouses of these researchers and people who know them, and that something is not quite right, that something's off, that these people are not behaving the way they're supposed to. And I would mention a pinpoint moment in November of 2012 that occurred in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, that I was invited to and I declined, by a researcher, that involved a very, very wealthy person who wined and dined 30 of the most influential researchers, up and coming and established in the field. He's obsessed with the concept of Mars colonization. And interestingly enough, some of the people who have come out about Mars colonies were left out of this event, which I find interesting, but that they targeted people who may or may not have been excellent at what they do as a researcher, but they got the numbers, they got the eyeballs on them, they got attention. I think that's important to note. Yeah. These people get attention.
They take the ones. What I found out is the higher you go up, as in anything, any organization, the higher you go up, it gets darker and darker and darker. And unfortunately, the ones that have the podium, that are getting the most press, are the ones that have pretty much sold out, or they've been taken over, influenced by this network.
Absolutely. I officially boycotted the Super Soldier Summit that just happened because it is a dark network of spies, as I call them, spooks in the vernacular. CIA has completely infiltrated it, and most of the people who are speaking I know personally. I have counseled personally for hours upon hours. I know them. They've reached out to me. I tried to help them, and they all stabbed me in the back, not necessarily because they were doing it openly maliciously or consciously maliciously, but their programming forbade them from getting closer to me because I was actually somebody who tried to help. And these people are not well, none of them. They are deeply troubled individuals, and I don't mean that they're bad people necessarily. I just mean that they have really been traumatized. They've really been through the ringer, and I have all the sympathy in the world for them and the compassion for them, but they're damaged individuals who should not be speaking publicly because they're not healthy. They're being exploited, and the people who organized that event are exploiting them, and the hosts are exploiting them, and the people who claim to be supportive of them are exploiting them, and one of them, who was one of the keynote speakers, who has her own supposed network of whistleblowers, was at this event in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. And she's a big fraud, and I'm tired of making nice about trying to be, you know, politically correct about this. These people have been compromised. She got compromised in 2009, and I am going to post the names of the people who I definitely know attended this event in 2012 on my blog soon. Anya is a channel.blogspot.com. Mm-hmm. I will be posting more information about this, and I will be talking about it in other interviews as well, because I feel there is there's a recreation of the same hierarchy that exists in our 3D reality within the UFO community. And it's ironic, considering all of these people very publicly state that they are interested in transparency and that they're interested in disclosure, when nothing could be further than the truth. They're interested in reality management, but they may not be entirely running the show, because it has to do with a network of ancient beings who have lost sight of the program in their own mind, the purpose of their being, which is spirit, which is soul. They have given that up for superficial materialistic means. They've gone an atheistic route, for lack of a better term. They have chosen science and technology as their god, and they have chosen left brain thinking over right. And I'm not saying one hemisphere is better than the other, but I'm saying that a predominance of one hemisphere over another is a tyranny. And these are the people that are also known as the Archons, or for lack of a better term, I also have picked up that they're called the Dow Gray, D-O-W Gray. They're a particularly malignant and malicious sect of Grays who have kind of lost the picture, and they're the same group of Grays who unfortunately have chips over the Skinwalker Ranch in, I don't know what state it's in. Is it in Wyoming?
I think it's Nevada, isn't it?
Somewhere out west, yeah.
Yeah.
And I know for a fact that they are manipulating two timelines at the same time, and they've been trying to live in two timelines, and it's made them crazy. Mm-hmm. And they are sending that directive and agenda out to the people who are involved in the UFO communities, who are researchers, and they're hijacking their bodies, and they're mind-controlling them. And then, of course, they have their human stooges to do the rest, which is a clever mixture of using drugs and subtle hypnosis via neurolinguistic programs and the like. They know the psych profiles of all of these people and what makes them tick. And they, more importantly, they know their weaknesses. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, for a lot of people in the UFO community, it's recognition is their drug. To be recognized and taken seriously and to be respected. And that's a noble, you know, under normal circumstances, that's a noble ambition. To want to be taken seriously is a normal, healthy human thing. But when you get the ego out of control, as it is with so many researchers who are basically mimicking a lot of the science community, the scientific industrial complex's protocol, and they worship at that altar. And they give a lot of lip service to people like us who are contactees, and they talk about how the contactees are the future, but they never talk to us directly, and they never engage with contactees, which I find ironic. That's another sign of mind control with these people. This event last November hooked a lot of people in, but there were already people who were doing this. One of those major aspects of that is do as I say, not as I do. That's one sign of mind control going on. Somebody talks out both sides of their mouth, and someone who denies something they said 5 minutes earlier. And I've repeatedly come in contact with people like that in the super soldier community, which is a typical black ops move, which says to me that if researchers are doing that kind of thing, they either have a serious cognitive dissonance and somebody else is driving the car, or they are black ops people. They're intel people. They may not be black ops, but they could be intel people, or they could be insiders whose agenda is nefarious. It's not ideal. I'm not saying this as a paranoid. I'm saying this as a fact. When you have people who are arrogant and who patronize and are sexist and have the social skills of somebody with autism, forgive me, I mean no disrespect to people with autism, but high-functioning autistic spectrum, that means that you are not driving the car necessarily. You're not picking up on cues. And supposedly you're somebody who's supposed to be observant, and yet more often than not, the researcher mode goes into exploitative mode rather than helping and healing and assisting. And maybe I'm confusing the roles of researchers here. Maybe I'm being naive. But it was a grand disappointment to find out that researchers are really not that interested in helping people other than themselves. Mm-hmm. Really, at the end of the day, it's about self-promotion for them. And maybe this is totally obvious to everyone but me. But I came into this a little more altruistic than that. And a little more open-minded than that. And then they turn it around and they say that everybody else is the one that's closed-minded. It's not them. So, again, more of this do as I say, not as I do routine or hypocrisy that is rampant in this field. And I wish people would stop supporting UFO conferences and going to these things obsessively like cult members and instead just finding online communities like themselves and going within more of themselves instead of trying to look to it for an external thing, because this is the 21st century right now we're in. Last I checked, we're in the 21st century. Mm-hmm. And it seems to me that people cannot follow a paradigm that involves hierarchies anymore and quote-unquote experts. If you open up your third eye, you can access discernment. You can see. And I realize that's a slippery slope because everyone could say, oh, I opened my third eye and now I have discernment. And then it becomes a pissing contest, pardon the expression. But what I mean is people need to trust their gut more. People don't trust their gut enough. 90% of the people that come to me as clients in my psychic practice do not trust themselves.
I think that's a key. That's definitely a key there that what I've seen is all of the symptoms that you're talking about is that I see people all the time saying one thing, doing something else, and then defending that when it's obvious it's a total paradox, you know, and they don't really understand the basic definitions of words, and their definitions are totally different. But you know, I've also seen some other things, and I'd love for you to talk about what, you know, the symptoms of this, mind control and this manipulation, because I've seen it in my own life many times, and going to these major events and dealing with these so-called experts and programming people to look outside for an external authority, which is the Matrix program. You're always looking outside of yourself for some external authority to tell you it's okay and this is what's going on. And that's the sheeple approach. And it's very sad because that then people are vulnerable to these energies and they get hooked by these energies. And I've seen everything from black balls in people's auras to black discs between them and cords going from, you know, some of these people, like a cord going from, you know, in their lower chakras. It usually hooks into the survival, sex, and power, the first three chakras.
Uh-huh.
And there'll be a cord going from them to this other realm that is that network. It's like a reptilian gray network. And then another cord will come out of that into the other person that they are trying to control or manipulate. I wonder if you've seen something of that nature.
Oh, absolutely. I've seen people shapeshift and I see their true visage, and they're either there's either a reptilian standing behind them, or they're a reptilian themselves and they're a shapeshifter, or they're a black magician and I just know what they're doing because I've had direct personal interactions with black magicians, one of whom harassed me via text messages. He threatened to kill me. And then about a year later, he was found in Boston doing the same thing to a yoga instructor. She had the good sense to go to a cop, and he's in jail now. I don't know if he got out, but he's in jail, and he's been institutionalized several times. And this is the slippery slope that I've seen. There is no, the way these higher entities, I wouldn't say higher, they're lower entities actually, but they have technology that is higher than what we can acknowledge on the conscious level sometimes. And knowledge without wisdom is a dangerous thing. Just having knowledge without the wisdom of what can be done with the capabilities of the technology you're given is very, very dangerous if you're not operating at a high spiritual level. And you want to manipulate and control, if it's like a drug for you, if it's like doing lines of cocaine for you, then you have no business operating that technology. And you can't handle it. And yet you have this paradox here with these beings who can't handle themselves. They're inherently drug addicts themselves, except they feed on human spirit and human experience, and they're parasites. And they work through people through some kind of energetic drive. And I've had this happen through many experiencers coming to me who are obsessed. They're just obsessive about the trauma of having these experiences with ETs. And as a form of vampirism, they will go through me and try and drain me. And you can always tell one form of mind control is someone who is interested in power and control through being an energy vampire. That's one way. Not always, but sometimes. Sometimes people are unconsciously doing it. And you feel more drained by that person than energized after you finish talking to them. If you feel up and always up by that person, that means they're not a vampire.
Mm-hmm.
But if you dread speaking with them after a while, something is wrong. And you need to pay attention to that. So that's one form of it. And they hook through people who are obsessive sometimes, or obsessive compulsive maybe. They hook through people who've just broken up with someone. They hook through people with someone with drug addictions or psychological impairments. They hook through people who don't eat right. They eat lots of processed foods and aren't in their right mind through having chemical alteration of the brain through substances, either food or drug or whatever. Through addictions, through insecurities, rampant insecurity, neuroses, arrogance. This is the hook. This is the easy in. This is the way to keep your soul's door wide open and ready for raiding. And what happens is once they hook into you, you become a vessel or a viper or a vector, rather, for their no goodness.
Yeah.
And again, keep in mind, it's a food source for them. It's nothing personal. But what they do is, what happens is, a lot of drama will probably happen in your life a lot if you have that attachment, if you feel like you're not driving the car, so to speak. And I am not going to stand there and say that hasn't happened to me either. It can happen to all of us at any point in time in our lives if we give up our personal power. And I did that once with an alien love bite relationship I had with a guy named Max, who's spoken at the Super Soldier Conference. He didn't love me. He was not interested in me. It was remote controlled. And they remote controlled me to have the illusion that I was in love with him. I wasn't. I mean, I wish him well, but he's a troubled soul, and he's a vector for this. And that's why I'm saying he has no business speaking in public yet until he heals himself. And he can separate the wheat from the chaff. Until then, he's spreading out neurolinguistic programs. He's an altar. He's a black magician, just like this guy who's in jail in Boston is. I make no bones about it. These people are possessed. They have spirit possession placed on them. And when I was involved with this alien love bite thing, it was really weird because... intellectually, I recognized what was happening, and I felt helpless to stop it regardless. It was like every time I would have a critical thought about the situation, whoa, we're going too fast. This is heading into the danger zone. I don't like this. This doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel safe. It doesn't feel natural. Every time I would start having that thought, some inside block would occur, and this overwhelming sensation of, no, ignore that, it'll be good, would come over me. And it was unnatural. That's the only way I can say it. If you're out of touch with your feelings, you're not going to notice the discernment. If you willingly suspend belief and you believe in someone who is possessed by one of these things and you believe what they're saying, you will be hooked in to their lies as well. And it's like a chain of events that will occur. And what will happen is you'll have a dramatic uptick of drama in your life, unnecessary drama. Everything will be a whirlwind of nonstop chaos. And everything will go sour very quickly, as it did. It was like a tornado of negativity. And then it would stop when I decided it would stop. And I put my foot down, and then the drama stopped. Once those elements were out of my life, the drama was out of my life. But once, yeah.
Yeah, can we go back to, you were talking about how people get hooked. You know, I know a lot of people get hooked because they've been traumatized, you know, in childhood, and they've got some kind of abuse or abandonment issues. I mean, that's a major open door, and the insecurities. Some of the other things that are going on, and you're talking about obsession, you know, to be obsessed with something, you know, whatever it may be, mm-hmm. you know, all those seem to open the door for this network to step in. Mm-hmm. And I've seen too, in relationships that, this happened to me several times in my life where the person I was hanging out with was, I mean, we were just like passionate, loving, everything was just awesome. You know, mm-hmm. huge heart opening. Everything was going great. And all of a sudden, bam, the switch clicked. Mm-hmm. Their auras went dark. And then it just was hell from then on out. And when I saw the energy field change and I saw their auras go dark and I saw the other things, you know, the cords and the other things going on, I put all my effort, my heart and soul into healing this and working on it. And it just took me in a rapid downward spiral, you know, into all the chaos and everything else. But which was interesting. But the you know, everything you're talking about, I finally figured out how to deal with these kinds of energies, and I understand them now, and I understand why I was a target for this.
Mm-hmm. Well, it, like I said, no one is immune. Everyone is susceptible to this. It's like a cold mm-hmm. or a flu. You know, it happens. We're human. We don't understand these things partially because of the industrial complexes around the educational systems, the religious systems, the academic systems, the military systems. Everything is, we know in science and everything has told us that none of this is real. It doesn't exist. And that partially has to do with the truth embargo and, you know, more power to people who want the government to disclose. But it seems odd to me that those very same people who are interested in independent thought and free opinion just got funded $1 million to talk about it for the recent event that was in Washington about that mm-hmm. By a private benefactor who remains unknown. Mm-hmm. Or maybe he is known, but that just makes me nervous when people take a lot of money from an entity unknown or I don't know. Once they own you is what I'm saying.
Yeah, and it does seem that way. What I've seen is the people that seem to be funded the most, that really are getting the bucks and are getting the most notoriety and are, you know, have the fame and, you know, the fame and the fortune and all the other things that come with this network, you know, are the ones that we really need to be, you know, having some major scrutiny with. But unfortunately, again, because we are so programmed by that to listen to external authorities, because that's how the Matrix works and it's programmed since children, you know, that we're all waiting for the guy on the podium, you know, with the suit and the tie or whatever to tell us, you know, the so-called expert, you know, to tell us how to think. And that's the whole spell that has to be broken, is that we have to back up and go, wait a second. I need to meditate on this. I need to get clear with who I am, why I'm here. I need to open up to my interdimensional self. And I need a healthy dose of discernment to learn how to discern and feel unseen negative influences and become the observer and learn about self-authority, not just in this world, but the unseen world as well.
Well, the reason they were able to hook so many of these researchers, and I don't want to make this personal, is, but it is personal. The personal is the political, and I stand by that. They aren't willing to look inside themselves at their own foibles. I know some of them, and their personal lives are a mess. Mm-hmm. And they focus on their work to the exclusion of everything else, their health, their families, what have you, because it gives them something to focus on that isn't about them and doesn't have them focusing on their heart center and focusing on why they're doing it. And I feel a lot of these people have missed the picture. They just missed the point a long time ago. They got caught up in the obsessive quality of the competition to be at these events and to be speaking as a headliner, and why am I not a keynote speaker, and why didn't somebody, the jealousy and this, that, and the other. I could care less about that. Maybe that's why I don't speak at any of these things, but it's also because they're just nests of this kind of hive mind that's just recreating on a micro level the macro level of what it is they claim to be trying to destroy or trying to break open and share with the world. You can't go to authority or so-called experts and expect them to break the hierarchy. It has to be unilateral. It has to be egalitarian. It cannot be hierarchical. You can have more information than another person, but you can't say you're the expert. Most of these people don't. I'm usually educating them about my situation. They are clueless a lot of the time.
Yeah, you know what? I'm totally. We're like two.
Obvious to me.
Yeah, we're like two peas in a pod there, because what's funny is that these people all the time are coming to me to find out what's going on, and they want to know what's happening in the higher dimensions, and they want to know about the changes and the frequencies and you know, the future and things like that. And then after I have a conversation with them, all of a sudden I see everything in their book or in, you know, in their speech or whatever that I just told them, and no credit, which I don't really care about. It's more that the information gets out there. But it's just amazing. It would be nice to see somebody with the integrity and the, you know, the soul connection to spirit and soul to say, hey, you know what, you know, this is where I got this, or you know, this feels really right to me, or something like that. Not to stand up there and you know, as a poser and beat their chest and say, this is what I know, you know.
Yeah, but that's unfortunately what so much of these UFO conventions and New Age conventions are, is a pissing contest. And I'm sorry to say that, but it's true. It's like,
it is.
Who's really interested in truth? You go to these things, a lot of the speeches are pre-programmed. They've been given the same speech for the last 10 years. There's nothing new under the sun. They haven't offered any new research. They hoard. They're information hoarders because they want to put their stake in their little dirt clod and claim it as their own. This is not going to change things. This
exactly.
is creating another hierarchical system, and it needs to be destroyed. It needs to be disseminated. It needs to be looked at critically. The way people who come to these things, they're like fanboys and fangirls. And I've seen that look in people's eyes with me as well. It's like they get the starry-eyed look. Wow, you were on television. I'm like, This is nothing to be proud of. This isn't an accomplishment to be on TV. I'm sorry. This is to be on a television program. Get it?
Yeah.
You know, I go on because there were a number of reasons why I went on the shows I went on, and it turned out they had a very high quality product. And personally speaking, I felt that I was misrepresented in the couple of times I've been on one. But, you know, hope springs eternal. I hope that the message got across through all of the, you know, the ways it was edited histrionically to make me look like an idiot and make me look like I'm running around in a field crying for no reason, not any context. There is a reason for it, but unfortunately, the show was sabotaged, I think. And I don't think the people who had final say on the edit really had final say on the edit. Yeah. And, you know, they mean well, and they're seekers as well, and people are seeking, and but they don't trust themselves enough. People have to trust themselves more is basically the message that I would leave people with. It doesn't matter if you see me running around in a field crying or speaking the most meaningful speech of all. At the end of the day, you have to get heart-centered. That's your job. You always have to be heart-centered. If you lose your heart, you lose your soul. If you lose your integrity, you lose your mind, you lose your soul. And that's when they come in. You get lost. Everybody gets lost. People go through times in their life. People have quarter life crises, midlife crises. They want to go get lost and find themselves. Well, unfortunately, those times are ripe for that kind of body possession. But there's, again, there's a silver lining. If you come out of it intact, and many people don't. Many people are zombies, and they're just scared, and they don't want to look at things because they're in fear. But if you do come out of it intact, and you have some kind of initiation, because we don't have initiations in our lives, and so unfortunately we have to have, you know, people think they have to have secret societies to be initiated to be a real man, which is hilarious. It's pathetic, you know. But the initiation needs to come from within ourselves. It needs to be intuitive. And it doesn't need to necessarily be, in order to be a man, you have to strap a vine to your ankle and jump off a cliff like they do in Africa, you know? Still, to this day, with teenage boys, it means you have to grow up. And the way you grow up is by being emotionally connected and mature, not by being, you know, a data vomiter. Not by being somebody who just spits stats like a machine, which is what I've seen several quote-unquote channelers. And, you know, Anya is a channel. My site is a joke. The title is kind of a sardonic joke. I don't like channeling. And I did it for a while when I woke up, and then I finally put my foot down because I didn't like the idea of other entities coming in and running the show. But, you know, it's a litmus test. Anya is a channel. It's a sardonic kind of wink and a nod to are you worshiping me, which I don't want? Or are you actually listening to the words and are you heart-centered? That's the litmus test. Unfortunately, there's two other people, George Cavalasis and Ashayana Dean, who used to be just plain old Anna Hayes. I don't know what happened to her. And they spout out this stuff. And they're just programmed robots, just spitting out information to the universe. And, you know, there's no such thing as this, but this exists and all this stuff. And nobody else is right. And they use the terminology that I'm using, but it's warped. Like they'll go within, but it's not them running the show. And yes, I just named names. I just went there. Well, I'm sorry. They're cults of personality and they have cults, and I'm sorry. And the people who buy into this nonsense buy into it because they don't want to take responsibility for themselves. They don't want to get heart-centered. They want to get in mind. They don't really want to be heart-centered. They say all the New Agers all say they want to be heart-centered and they want to raise their consciousness and raise their vibrational frequency, but none of them even have the slightest understanding of what it means to get heart-centered, to get honest with themselves and with others. Nobody knows that. There's a lot of fakery in this field. It's so funny, but I don't care anymore, you know? I've had it. I'm 42. Life is short.
You know, we're at that point now where it's no more bullshit point. You know, I should probably do a disclaimer and say, you know, the voices expressed and opinions expressed on this channel are not necessarily the opinions of
thank God for quote unquote freedom of speech, what's left of it. Thank God for the First Amendment.
Of the broadcasters or Esetti or James Gellin or anything else. But anyway, I mean, I've had similar experiences, you know, not to name names, but I've seen exactly what you're talking about. And I know, and I've looked in people's eyes and I've seen, wow, nobody's home. Where's your heart? You know, are you walking in your own power? No. Are you empowering people to make their own personal God, creator, spirit connection? No. Are you extreme distraction from them doing that by, and are you creating a dependency, you know, by everybody, look at me, look at me. You know, I have the answers, and without me, you're nobody, you know, and I see this all the time, and I just go, my God, when are be, you know, and then they get overwhelmed with intellectual rhetoric. They just, like you're saying, they just spew out all this stuff, and then they overwhelm the mind, and people go, oh my God, man, I can't even follow this. This is so awesome and so grand. I have to give my power away to this person because they're so much smarter than I am, you know, and it's just like, I watch this over and over again, and the whole, in my back of my mind, I'm going, how is this helping humanity? How is this helping people make their own personal, you know, connection with spirit? You know, how is this empowering the individual? You know, where's the solutions? Where's the tools? Right. You know, well, where's the, and it's just not happening there. And I just see people running, you know, like lemmings to this channel, to that speaker, to this expert, to this one. Yeah, and I go, why don't you just sit down, get out in nature, sit down, shut up, start meditating, find out who you are, ask, do your own process-oriented therapy, however you can do that, get your blocks out of the way, and really figure things out for yourself, you know, because this whole mess is just one big mind screw, and it's very sad, and that's one of the reasons why I'm not invited to these events, because the last event I spoke at with the International UFO Congress, you know, I made it very clear. I said, look, you know, these beings are very spiritually and technologically advanced, and we have to rise to the occasion if we're going to have contact. And it's not about, you know, looking in the past, you know, keeping your necks cranked into the past at Roswell and all these other things. Yeah. And it's not about keeping it far away, and it's not about listening to all of the reporting centers and the talk show hosts and everything else that are straight out of military intelligence that are steering the information and controlling, you know, their planned, what do they call it? Planned opposition, you know, they're there.
Yeah,
they're there to be. And it's really sad, the lack of discernment, that people just cannot figure this out. And I'm just going, am I an alien here, or what is going on? Because this is so freaking obvious to me, but I just keep seeing the sheeple and the lemmings going there with their mouths dropped open in these zombie stares, soaking up all this information. And it is, they come out of there looking like zombies, like they just got mind wiped or something.
Yeah, blinking in the sunlight as they come out of the dark cave. One of the reasons I named names just now, one of the people who I just mentioned earlier is spreading this weird notion that is creating disinfo. It just is. I mean, I'm getting emails from people or comments on YouTube or whatever where people are like, well, Anya, everybody knows there's a difference between the Galactic Federation and the Galactic Federation of Light. That's a direct quote. Mm-hmm. And they got it directly from this person who was talking about the Great Deception, which really him being the biggest deceiver of all. And what happens is this situation where there's a lot of what I call hairy Boscos in the mix, which is a military intel term for people who infiltrate communities like this, and they change a word here and they change a phrase there, and they spread this little seed that says, oh no, what you thought you experienced wasn't that, it was this. It's a high-tech intel version of gaslighting. Mm-hmm. And then it creates this game of telephone tag where, you know, at the beginning of the game, someone says, I ate a pizza last night. And at the end of the thing, the person has the solution to life, the universe, and everything. You know?
Yeah.
And this is why I have to name names now, because I'm sick of the bullshit. It's stupid to get caught up in these silly little hair-splitting, divide-and-conquer tactics from within. It's either the person is too stupid to know, and which I don't believe. I want to believe that a person is genuinely intelligent enough that they just get heart-centered, because it has to do with emotional intelligence, which I think is even more important than an IQ test. Mm-hmm. And most people are not emotionally intelligent, but they do it by choice because they don't want to look at the pain, and they don't want to look at the hurt, and they don't want to look at whatever slates they had. So, of course, they gloss it over and look externally to the stars. What's an easier way to get away from yourself than looking to outer space? you know, than looking to an alien who is alien from yourself, and thus it makes it so much easier to deal with than dealing with your own pain and your more mundane earthly matters of, you know, dealing with that crap that happened when you were seven with your grandmother, you know? Mm-hmm. It's just, it boggles the mind. And then these same people vilify psychology, but then psychology does serve an important point in figuring out yourself, but it's only one tool of many. I'm not talking about the DSM manuals that until 1974 called homosexuality a disease. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about a function of self-examination without getting into mind too much, but understanding your patterns and breaking them. And the only way you can do that is keeping a diary of your patterns, keeping a log of your behaviors. Like when you feel bad, write it down, note the date and time, and see what happens. A pattern might emerge. When you feel like binge eating or binge drinking, write it down in a diary. Like, what happened when you felt like that? Feel your feelings already. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's not against the law. And too many of these people are saying they're feeling their feelings in this community, and they're not. They're in mind. And they're saying that they're so evolved, and they've, you know, I'm just being egoic by addressing such a mundane issue as your feelings. That's just more Illuminati infiltration and mind control that I know well about, that says that feelings are stupid. Ask a super soldier what's more important, killing someone or your feelings, and they'll say killing someone 9 times out of 10. You know? If they're in their right program, I'd say right sarcastically. You know, that pain is good. They do inversions. That's a satanic inversion of everything that is good and holy. They want to vilify because they hate God. They hate anything that's holy. They hate the God spark that's inside of us. That's why people like Angelina Jolie are getting double mastectomies. It's not a preventative measure. It's part of a eugenics agenda and a transhumanist agenda to try and destroy the human spirit. And it's not working. It's breaking down. And mm-hmm. as it breaks down, more and more people are going to appear publicly more psychotic, more out of sorts, more out of touch with reality. And their wives are going to be coming up to me and telling me that people are telling them that their husband looks like he's on drugs and sounds like he's on drugs and acts like he's on drugs, but he's not on drugs. And guess what? He attended that event last November in Bucks County, PA at the billionaire's house. Mm-hmm. So, and he started behaving that way after that event, as did several other people I know who I'm going to name soon enough.
Yeah. So these events are really, and that's what I've seen too. These events are not really what we think they are, and very, very few people are adept enough to see beyond the veils and what's happening. And, you know, one of those things you were talking about, I guess you there was somebody, I don't know who he was talking about, that at one of those events they were interviewing an M15 agent. I'd love to tell that story.
Oh, yeah, an MI5 agent. That actually, I'm happy to name the name of this guy. He's a good guy. I hope he stays intact. Let's just put it that way. Lately, he's had a lot of attacks, and he's had attacks all of his professional adult life because of what he does. Miles Johnston, great interviewer. You know, in the 90s, I think it was, he attended the UFO Congress, and there's a video that was online. He might have reposted it. I highly recommend if people can find it, if someone could send me a link to it, because I'd love to have it posted again. And I put it on my I'd love to put it on my blog as well, if I have permission. Miles, I think he'd be happy to send me if he can. He filmed this MI5 agent who went to the UFO Congress in, I guess it was Nevada or wherever it was in 96, 97, I want to say. Maybe I'm wrong. But he had the good presence of mind to also film this man in an interview with what is that, ultraviolet feature as well, or not ultraviolet.
Infrared. Yeah.
And then he also had the good sense to film it in other formats as well, so you can clearly see this. This is not CGI. This is from the 90s on a video camera. It's not tampered with. And so there's a four-screen cut, so you see the different styles of filming, of the types of film cameras that were on or used for the filming. So you have the regular filming, the infrared, and then the two other types, I forget they were called, but it showed body heat and temperature in the room and everything. And there's a damn gray standing behind this guy. And he was found in the hotel. They were going to do an interview with him. He got lost. They missed him somehow. 3 days later, he shows up. He's stumbling around. He can barely form a sentence. He's out of sorts. He's dizzy. He doesn't know where he is. He doesn't know what's going on. So they take him back to the hotel room and they film this, because obviously something's happened to this man. I think he was about to give some information, and it just so happens that he disappears right before they're going to do an interview. So they finally grab him and take him back to the room and film him. And there's this being standing behind this guy, clearly with his hands. The being's hands are on both sides of the man's head, and he's clearly getting attacked somehow. And it's a small being. It's like maybe a 4.5 foot tall, thin being, what would commonly be referred to as a gray. I mean, there's an outline of a body. You can see it on the infrared. You cannot see it on the regular film. And this is why when I do TV shows and things, I'm always disappointed when the crew doesn't even have the presence of mind to have any technology to back up what I'm saying. I want science to back up what I'm saying. I want the funding to be there for the filming to back up what I'm saying, because this stuff is real. And so this video, you see this gray ET manipulating this man's energy, and he's a mess. And then shortly afterwards, I don't think they got anywhere with the information. The guy didn't even know what had happened to him. I think he was taken, maybe by some shadowy government types, but there was definitely an ET involvement in all of this, okay? Mm-hmm. And as this is happening, this man is getting more and more and more dissociated and out of touch and dizzy. And this thing is standing behind him, like with his hands on his head and doing things to him, manipulating his energy field. So I highly recommend checking out that Miles Johnson interview if you can find it. It's an MI5 agent wandering around the UFO Congress. Mm-hmm. I have other stories where things have happened there that were negative. Not too many positive stories of that type happening.
Well, I noticed that the Congress, and this is what when I went there, I was talking about how we – you know, I really nailed it down. I said, look, it's time for us all to cooperate, start working together, put all the information on the table. You know, I said, there's a very high spiritual dimension to this, and there's some very low-level stuff. Until we're going to know the whole picture, we all have to learn to cooperate and work together. And I got a standing ovation there. You know, people had amazing, and the Pleiadians came in, and people felt them, and it was... You know, it was one of the biggest rushes for book sales that they've ever seen, you know, after the talk. And so I know it was well received and everything, and I've never been invited back, you know, since that. But what I saw is that it just kept going down a very dark road, and it was totally controlled, and it was all about locking people into the intellect and overwhelming them with information until they just gave up, and zero heart center. You know, there wasn't anything there that really empowered the people to make their own personal, you know, God's creator spirit connection, to explore their own multidimensional selves, to have their own contact, and to walk away empowered. It just wasn't there. And anybody that brought that, especially the women, when they brought the heart part of it in and the higher aspects of it in, they were pretty much tossed right out the door patted on the head and say, that's nice, you know, nice story, okay. And sent down the road and not asked to come back again. And so, so it's, and I've seen that it's the same thing in a lot of these other stuff. It's all programmed for some external thing, and that you need this external authority to help you deal with this external threat you know, it's all just a big mind screw, and it never ends.
Yeah, it's if you just provide an information dump and you don't provide any solutions beyond that, you're running the risk of immobilizing people with overwhelm. And I want to talk a bit about that patronization and sexism that you're talking about at these things. The only real meaning I ever found at one of these types of things was at a psychic's booth. One psychic at one of these things, and she was totally marginalized. Like, they'd put her in the corner somewhere off to the side, and she was great. She was helping people left and right. And but the speakers were just talking about paranoia and fear, and this is what it is. Or it was totally patronizing, like, you're little kindergartners, and this is 101, and wow, isn't that great? Or, you know, just really mind-numbingly, stultifyingly stupid kind of presentations, some of them. Some of them were brilliant. Some of them were positive. Some of them were enlightening. Mm-hmm. Like, I really like Georgios Tsoukalos. I think he's great. The ancient aliens guy.
Yeah.
Because he really offers possibilities and potentialities about humankind and what we're capable of and what our collaborations possibly might have been with other beings and the heights of human potential and everything. He always tries to put it on a positive note. But I feel that kind of positivity is overshadowed somewhat by just the dark agenda. And it's a slippery slope. It's like, yeah, I've given out dark information, but I'm not into information dumps and then leaving, which is what a lot of Black Ops people would do and a lot of intel people would do.
You know, can we go to, because we've only got a few minutes left, but I really wanted to get into some solutions that both you and I have been experiencing lately. And we've been experiencing these beings coming in and these God beings and the protectors of the gods and the Pleiadians and the Andromedans and the Syrians and the benevolent ones that are coming in right now and trying to unhook, you know, they're just tearing this matrix down right now.
Yeah, they are.
And plus the alignment that's happening with Galactic Plane and Sirius and Alcyon and the energies that we're just getting slammed with by gamma rays, which are seventh level consciousness that are hitting the planet over and over again. This whole grid, this whole program is being torn down right now. And I think as far as the solution side is that we need to really get on the right side of the track and start working with these benevolent beings that are here to empower us to make our own personal, you know, God, spirit, creator connection and to get on with our work here and wake us up to the fact that we were these beings. See, we were these Andromedans, these Pleiadians, these feline beings. You know, these are all within us, and we've incarnated here, you know, to make a change and to take down this matrix and usher in a whole new world. And I think on that note, I think we need to really empower people to say, hey, it's time to – what I'm hearing from a lot of the people such as you right now is they're saying they feel something extreme has been lifted. The chains are being broken, and they're starting to wake up and realize that, wow, I have been enslaved. I've been manipulated and controlled, and I've bought into this matrix, and it's unsustainable, and we can't do that anymore. And so, you know, give people a good note on how do we get out of this and what's the way out, and any tools or observations you have to help people get out of this old program.
Oh, sure. Well, the good news is, and it may surprise some of you who think you're enslaved, is that you asked for this. You asked for it. So they came. But they're not here to save you. They're just here to, like, you know, break down the stuff that made the playing field unfair. Mm-hmm. They can only make the playing field fair, and then it's up to you. So once the playing field is fair, which is what happens, this is an 11th hour attack. It's nothing to be freaked out about. It's temporary. It's not real in the sense of it has any real long-term effect on any of us unless we've let it, the negativity. The negatives know that they're being tamped down, that their soul grid pattern is somehow being put back in the box and put back in the original settings. Mm-hmm. You know, something's happening with these beings and they're losing their power. I know for a fact that these rituals and spells and things like that are not working anymore. Or if they are working, they're working not nearly as effectively as they used to. Which, and again, I refer to the reference of what do you do if you corner a wounded animal? What is it going to do? It's going to attack, right? Mm-hmm. So why wouldn't you be surprised? Like, there's no need to be surprised by this anymore. We've all been given the information subconsciously and subliminally, but we've also all helped for self-empowerment as well. And the minute you accept that you are ready to be self-empowered, the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And I don't mean on a hierarchical level. I mean the Godhead. I mean the Christed energy consciousness within. The grid opens up. You learn about yourself more. The third eye really does open up. Real discernment happens. And that toho, that stranglehold that these negatives have, obviously this is just a first step, but you learn trust in yourself first. And then and only then can you figure out the flotsam and jetsam that's flying all around you. Mm-hmm. But you have to accept self-empowerment as a possibility first and foremost, and then and only then can healing and acknowledgement and integration and welfare, genuine welfare and well-being occur.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, in covering these issues, we're not here to bash anybody or take anybody down. We're here to give them the opportunity to take a long, hard look at themselves in humility and say, hey, you know what? I might need to take a different approach here. I might need to get on with my own healing before I start trying to heal others. And
yeah.
You know, and maybe it's time for me to open the gates to these fifth, sixth, seventh dimensional energies and my own Christ consciousness and allow this beautiful golden energy, whatever you want to call it, pink, green energy to come in and you know, assist in this process, because healing can be very quickly and very graceful.
Yes.
If we open to that, and the energy's there to open to right now if we choose. But we have to recognize that we are, you know, being controlled and manipulated, and that we have been in this matrix for a long time, and we have to understand what the matrix is so we can learn to stay out of it and not get hooked by it again. And I've seen over and over the matrix, it's usually all about fame, it's about material you know, mm-hmm. wealth, and it's about, you know, it's about power, but not power that empowers people, because love always empowers and serves. Mm-hmm. It's that overpowering others and you know, these sense of entitlements and self-absorption and things like that, those programs that are running, that are coming to a close. This whole hierarchy thing, this whole hierarchical order right now is coming down. And I always tell people, where does hierarchy fit into unity consciousness?
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah. Where does I'm so special fit into, or this sense of entitlement fit into unity consciousness?
Right,
you know,
right.
It doesn't work. And so when you see the creator in everyone and everything, and you're in service to creation, that's when you've got it. And your ego steps aside, and then everything flows. That's when everything starts really working.
And it helps to adapt a sense of humor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Humor goes far.
Oh, exactly.
It's really a blessing. It's really, really divinely given humor. Use it. Don't be afraid to use it. It's okay to laugh.
I have a pretty wicked sense of humor sometimes.
Yeah, I love it.
It's unlimited in both directions, but it does open people up and get people to connect into their own joy.
It's okay to laugh.
Yeah, so we just got a couple minutes left, and I know this is a godsend for people to realize that have been through this ringer, you know, and that have been courted, and they have been manipulated and disconnected from their soul and spirit, or blocked, let's say. They're not disconnected. And so I think on ending, you know, maybe we should say, hey, you know, it's time to reconnect to soul and spirit. Get on with your agreements and your arrangements on incarnating. And maybe it's time to call out for help from the higher dimensions and realize that all of those higher dimensional beings are within.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you're a multidimensional person, you're more than just someone sitting in an audience passively looking at someone standing on a podium spreading, you know, information dumps that don't empower you in any way, shape, or form. They just make you feel fear and helpless. You are many things. You are magnificent. You are an eternal being of light. You lived before and you lived again. You have absolutely nothing to fear. Anything you think that is a loss or a potential loss is simply an illusion. It's just a trapping. You don't need it. If it doesn't come into your life, it wasn't meant to be anyway. So don't worry about it. It's just life. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal. It's a beautiful, wonderful gift. And you're here to learn. Earth is a classroom. Enjoy it. Enjoy the learning process. Thank the experiences that are negative when they happen. And say, I thank you for that experience. I have learned that lesson. I'm not interested in a repetition of that again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not interested in that. I've already learned it. When you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, that's when real change happens. It doesn't happen when you're standing in fear and trepidation and hesitation. Mm-hmm. It happens when you're willing to take that leap and say, screw it. I'm jumping off the diving board. I don't care. I'm jumping off the diving board. And that is when real freedom happens. It doesn't happen in, no, you are not accessing your third ray consciousness grid because you haven't been a good enough girl. Mm-hmm. It's not about punishment. You don't know anything, and only I know because I have special access to the beings, and you don't. That's not enlightenment. Yeah. I don't care who told you it was. They lied to you, and they were cult leaders. So get off that and just be human. Just enjoy being a human in a human body, in a human form, and relating to that in relationship to existence, and it all becomes fun. It all becomes a game in a good, joyful sense if you recognize it's only life. It's just
I think it's something. Yeah, it is. It's what I'm seeing right now, all that other stuff is fluff. I mean, it's great. It happens. You know, there are all these other dimensional beings out there. I love hanging out with them myself because, you know, most of them are operating under universal law and they have a very high sense of honesty, integrity, loyalty, all the basics. They have those down. You know, they understand what service is and things like that. But the bottom line is, like, when are we going to become the master? You know, are we always going to be seeking the master? Yeah. You know, when are we going to actually act upon universal law ourselves and become part of that and be a beacon to others? You know, when we do hold on to those basic universal principles and in our daily lives, and, you know, with, as we were talking earlier about just right action, you know, your choices and your actions are creating the reactions of tomorrow and creating your reality tomorrow. And some of those actions are going to be pretty nasty if you're not in alignment with universal law. And if you aren't congruent or if you aren't being, you know, totally honest or whatever, and you know, there are going to be some very nasty messes coming up that are amplified by these energies.
Right.
But, you know, what I'm seeing right now is I think it's time to just really do some soul searches and get down to basics and find out who we are, why we're here. You know, if possible, find out what our agreements are on coming in and get on with that, because we're not here to support the Matrix. We're here to create a whole new world.
Yeah, and you start also by not feeding the beast and not doing the same old, same old. You have to go against the grain if you're going to find out what you're made of. If you never test your metal, how do you know what you're made of?
Exactly.
Yeah, take a new class. Take a martial arts class. Take an art class if you want. Try something you've always wanted to try that's hopefully supportive and loving and doesn't harm anyone, least of all yourself, and get you in touch with the feeling of how that feels when you're inside that body doing something you've never done before. And pay attention to that new experience and how it feels on your tongue, in your mind, in your soul, in your stomach. Mm-hmm. How does it feel? And it's real important to pay attention to how your stomach feels too. That tells you a lot. There's more nerves in the stomach than there are in the heart or the brain. There's no nerve endings in the brain.
Yeah, that gut feeling that we're ignoring that gut feeling, you know, and there's more neurons in the heart than there are in the brain.
Yeah.
So I mean, to me, it's your gut feeling and your heart, and your mind is the great liar. You know, the intellect is the biggest liar of all, and it'll take you all over the place. But if you're not in touch with your heart, and if you're not in touch with your soul and spirit, you're just fodder. You can be dragged all over the place and become a nice little zombie robot, and that's fine, but that's not really why we're here. We're here to really make a change and do something different. But anyway, hey, we're out of time. We're going to have to sign off here, so I can't thank you enough for coming on the show, and we'll have to do it again because I know we've got a couple more hours of information to bring out.
Oh, yeah. I would welcome another visit. That would be great. Thank you so much, James. Love to you.
All right, you too. Keep up the good work.
Okay, take care.